This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Mike. Do you, this is a crazy one. This is from various sports accounts that I'm following now. Schools are reportedly trying to freeze Notre Dame out of future scheduling opportunities after finding out, well, basically what Bavecna said about Notre Dame being guaranteed a spot if they are in the top 12. Allegedly, teams are now having a hard time wanting to schedule them, perhaps freezing them out. Buy or sell, there's any world where that's a possibility. Because they're an independent. You have to get a conference like the ACC willing to play ball. They just bit the hand that kind of... I know you say ACC needs Notre Dame more than Notre Dame needs ACC. Notre Dame still needs a house. They still need a schedule.
They
might have just
now?
Bit the ACC, the hand that was feeding them, a schedule. Buy or sell, there's any real chance that Notre Dame does get frozen out of scheduling with anyone next year?
They won't be frozen out of getting scheduled with anyone, but they will be frozen out of getting scheduled with anyone legit. I mean, CSU needs a good team to play. Yeah, they'll play Notre Dame. But Notre Dame's not going to have a strong schedule. They're going to play their Navy. But USC is going to say no.
Will they for sure play Navy?
I think they'll still play Navy. They play Navy every year.
Well, I know, but that's an ACC thing. Is that going to happen? Listen, man, it's all coming to a head now, even the traditions that you're talking about. Buy or sell this proposal. I got a new proposal for you, Mike. Ready? Lock in.
Yes.
Okay, it's the 24 teams. You said, I don't like automatic. Okay, so here's what I'm saying to you. Are you locked in? Okay, so you go with the 4-4-4-4 model. Four teams for each conference guaranteed in. They have to be a top 25 team. If they are not a top 25 team, for every team not in it, so if you only have two in, you forfeit two spots, then those turn into at-large bids. So my model would be this. Four for the SEC, four for the ACC, four for the Big Ten, four for the Big 12, two G5 best conference champs, six at-large bids. If either one of the Power Four conferences doesn't have enough in the top 25 to yield a team to give them four, they forfeit one of those spots to a top 25 team. It would then go into an at-large pool. Buy or sell?
So, let's say the ACC, mm-hmm. the ACC, just not good enough to get four teams in the top 25.
Yes.
They, one of them gets kicked out, and they go to one of the crappy conferences, right? One of the crappy conferences gets their spot.
No, it would go to an at-large. So it'd be the next ranked. So if you're going with 4-4-4-4, but you only have three in the ACC, then that basically turns into another at-large. So it's another ranked team that would be getting it.
Or, now hear me out. We go the top 24.
They're not going to. They're not going to do that. There are enough logical people that are not Scrooge McDuck over there that understand there are 132 football teams. Why in the freaking hell do only the Power Four teams get real shots at this? Well, because they don't schedule anybody. They literally can't, Mike. I don't know what I have to do to get that through your brain. They literally can't make the same schedules. There's not enough. They have their conference schedule. They have their rivalries. Like, CSU is already going to be playing Wyoming every year. That's already not one of those big games. So now they have three opportunities. It's just not possible to create these schedules that you're talking, that you covet so much, like Gollum and his ring. There's another nerd reference that we can all, that's a tune we can all dance to. I can't seem to get that through. There's 9 conferences, man. They can't all create tough schedules. It just isn't possible. Boise State created a tough schedule last year, and you still bitched that they got in because they lost to Oregon in a close game. Well, they didn't have enough to play. Well, they scheduled Oregon, and it was a close game, and they got in because of it. But nationally, people complained about it. So that's about as good as they can do. Maybe one or two. They could schedule 2 juggernauts. But it's not going to happen. If CSU would have beat Washington, is that a ranked-type game? Would that have made CSU ranked? Let's say they won the rest of their games. Would Washington be, they beat Washington. They're a top-10 team.
It would have dropped them a bit because Washington would have ended up being 7-5. But that's still a strong victory for them. But then the loss to UNC.
Right. We're just playing hypothetical. Because obviously CSU isn't even in this world. Wait. Buy or sell. Do you like that plan? You said you don't like automatics. So I'm saying, okay, well, it's automatic if they're not in the top 25. If they're not in the top 25, then you eliminate one of your automatics and you give it over. It goes into a pool.
Better. I like top 25. If you're not in the top 25, you shouldn't be in the playoffs of 24. What's the point of having a top 25
if the rest.
Top 25 aren't getting in there?
Well, to be fair, everybody in the playoffs this year is in the top 25. So, to be fair, it's actually working. They are. Are you disagreeing with the college football playoff rankings? Because they have James Madison in the top 25 and they have Tulane in the top 25.
Yeah, but like there are teams above them that deserve to be there.
Well,
but their spots are being taken. Because
this is
have those guys in.
You have to have them in. It's just the way it goes, man. I mean, it's too many teams. Faith says, do you know why they chose to be independent? Isn't it just because of TV deals?
TV.
Yeah, TV. When was the last time they were in a conference? Do you know? Efforting? I mean, they're in the ACC, everything else but football. Hold on. Had a cough. Still there, Mike. Feeling better, but still there. Dixon says, anytime you say top 25, it still brings in questions when it comes to rankings. Like what? Like, I mean, that's what we have to go off. Unless you want to just do my idea. Because the top 25 is going to be subjectable anyway. Go ahead, Mike.
According to AI, who is always correct, Notre Dame was in the top 25 in the 2020 season when they played a full schedule in the ACC.
That was okay. But I'm asking,
like, asterisk.
When were they actually? Well, yeah, the ACC bailed them out for that. Notre Dame needed a full schedule, and the ACC gave it to them. And Notre Dame's pissed off because the ACC came out and said, we want Miami in over Notre Dame. Well, Miami's in the ACC. Notre Dame's not. Dixon, who really knows if the 28th team is better than the 25th team? You don't. You don't. But it's a guessing game. And, you know, you can make the argument all day and night as to, are they really 20th? Are they really 25th? I mean, I still don't hate the idea of conference champs. 9 conference champs, and then the rest are at large. Win your conference. It's the NFL. It's turning into the NFL anyway. Might as well make it so.
AI is also saying that before joining the ACC temporarily, they were members of the Big East Conference between 1996 and 2013.
Okay. Yeah, and then they went nomad, and they found a way to make more money with their own TV deals, and they don't want to give that up. But if you want to have everything, but you don't want to play by the rules, you're going to lose some things, man. You can't have everything. You have to be in a conference. You have to play tough opponents. You have to do that on a regular basis. Dixon says, if it's subjective, there will always be controversy. Correct. So, if it, you know what's not controversial? Win your conference and you're in. Winning and losing is not controversial.
Winning a crappy conference and you're in. Okay, fine.
But like you, like Dixon just said, it's subjective.
We beat a bunch of crappy teams. We deserve to be in there.
Oh, you sound like a Muppet baby. It really, really
sound like
bothered
Ray
me.
Romano.
Really bothered me how you did that. But okay, can you at least? You're obsessed with scheduling. Do you at least understand what I'm saying? What I'm telling you, they cannot.
I understand what you're saying.
So then, but you're just like, screw it. I don't care. Life's not fair. That's basically what you're saying.
I've got to come up with a solution.
You've been trying for weeks now, and I still haven't
I've been
seen
forgetting.
It. Put that on. I want that on my desk by the end of the day today. It's, man, Eastside Chris, Brady, 9 conferences, right? Yeah, 9. Top 2 from each, seed them. Bottom 4 play to get in. 16 madness. Bowl games throw in. That, see, I had someone suggest 2-2-2-2-2 like all the way through. It's not going to happen. The SEC and the Big Ten won't allow. Let me read it here. Ram U says 2 per Power 4 and 2 for the G6. So 2 per Power 4 and then 2 for the G6 at large 6. So he's going 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. He's saying 16. I think some might want the 16, but the SEC and the Big Ten want more than 2, Mike. That's the give-in. They want more than 2. They're telling you, in order for us to move on this, we need to guarantee that we're going to have more than 2. And I think my idea is, hey, you get 4, assuming they're in the top 25. If they're not in the top 25, then we kick them out.
It's better than just tossing in undeserving teams.
What makes them undeserving?
It's like what I say with the playoffs. If you are a 7-9 team and you win your conference and you go to the playoffs in the NFL, 7-9 teams don't deserve to go to the playoffs in the NFL.
But they get in, and the NFL seems fine.
And it's wrong.
When
you gotta be at least 500.
Then why have then why have divisions? Why have divisions if you're throwing out? It doesn't. But if you don't like the way the division is, they don't get in the playoffs. Why have divisions?
Congratulations, you won your division, you get a t-shirt.
No, they can get in the playoffs and they can win games.
Yeah, but you won a crappy conference. You at 7-10 won your crappy conference.
Your division, you mean?
Sorry, crappy division.
Then why have divisions? I'm asking you a question. Why have divisions then?
So you can play all the teams you hate.
So eliminate divisions is what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, you go to the playoffs automatically
if you have a
winning record.
Right, but you're not giving me a solution to that. Like,
I'm giving you a solution. If you don't have a winning record, then you forfeit your playoff spot.
They're not going to do that.
No, they're not, which is ridiculous.
Win your division. That's what it's about first, is winning your division. Your Broncos got in at 8-8. I didn't see you complaining then.
They were 8-8, and I didn't like that. It bothered me, but at least they were 8-8.
And they won a playoff game, didn't they? They won a playoff game.
They did.
Yeah. So it's about winning your division first. It's like this all over sports, man.
They didn't deserve a home game, though, the Broncos. They should not have had a home game. I'm glad they did. Glad the Broncos
Thank
won.
You. Yeah, Dixon
but
also saying Seattle got in at 7-9 and won a playoff game.
Like, yeah, against a very, very badly injured.
Well, now you're picking and choosing. Oh, but they won this game and they didn't win this. You sound like your typical elitist college football fan. You won, but I don't like the way you won. You got in, but I don't like the way you got in. The Broncos are 11-2, but I don't like the way they're 11-2. You see where we're going here? It's not perfect. None of it's a perfect system. We can't just pick and choose, well, we don't like the way this team wins games. We don't like the conference that they're in. Well, they can't schedule anymore. Tough cookies. Then what are we doing here? Like, it's not none of it's a perfect system. The Giants weren't a very good team when they got into the playoffs and they upset an undefeated New England Patriots team. Nobody had that on their bingo card.
Let's just put a Wheel of Fortune wheel together and put teams on there and just random teams that are kind of good or very good get in.
You were just...
Oh, Alabama lost only one game? Sorry, yeah. Wheel of Fortune didn't get
let's not let James Madison in because they're going to get blown out. Even though we had all blowouts last year in the playoffs. Ohio State 42-14 against Tennessee. How'd that happen?
They were that much better.
So Tennessee should never be allowed. They should move to the Mountain West.
That's not what I'm saying at all. That's wrong.
But you're saying you don't want James Madison in. And
Madison would have lost 70-0 to that Ohio State team.
Boise State was closer to Penn State than most of these games last year. But yet they didn't deserve to be in because they didn't play anybody last year. They lost to Oregon by 3. They didn't deserve to be in because they didn't have a tough enough schedule. They beat everybody else on their schedule. They beat everybody on their schedule. Well, it's not tough enough. They can't do anymore. I can't magically wave Michael's little Star Trek wand and say, bippity-boppity, let's squeeze Alabama in between all of our conference games that we have to do. They can't do that. Do you think Alabama wants to play Ashton Jeanty last year? Now, a lot of these teams don't want to play these teams. Dixon, Michael will move the goalposts like 10 times in every discussion you have. It's like you don't like the way they're winning. You don't like the way that they won a playoffs. You don't like how they got into the playoffs. It's not a perfect system. And honestly, it's kind of sad to hear you say that because nationally the rhetoric around the Broncos is, well, they're 11-2, but they haven't beat anybody. I don't care. They're 11-2. NFL's hard to win. They're 11-2. So that by that rationale.
The NFL's completely different, though. It's a different beast.
But you just bitched about the NFL, the way they get sometimes a team under 500 gets in.
And I still don't like that. 11-2 is 11-2. But 7-9 is not 11-2.
Your world involves 15 college football teams. Congratulations, you have 15 college fan bases, and you will make way less money than you ever thought possible. Because you have only the elite football program's fan base now. You've cut off 80% of the country because you want these guys to not get in the playoffs. You don't want James Madison. You don't want Boise State. You don't want Tulane. Well, they all, 100 of these teams, all have fan bases. And you're willing to say, screw those fan bases. We're going with 32 teams. That's it. Those are the only fan bases we care about. You've cut off 80 to 90% of your fan base in college football. Congratulations. You've ruined college football. It is now an elite system, and it is a miniature NFL, and only 30 fan bases can enjoy it.
Haven't you said you wanted to be an miniature NFL, though?
I said it's going to get like this. If they keep with this attitude that you have, it's going to turn into that. I like a lot of things about the NFL. I do think they should go conference champs getting in. What I've said for years is that it's going to turn into 30 and 30, like 60 teams. I don't say I want that. I want the Mountain West in. I want the Pac-12 in. I want James Madison in. I want Tulane in. So for me, no, I don't want it to be the exact model of just 30 teams. I want guys that if you win your conference championship, it should mean something more than here's a neat trophy that you can put on your mantle. 23 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. Faith, but the battle between you two has been the highlight of my listening week. Well, I'm glad, Faith, but we all know who's right.
Me.
Big Hub says, you see how he doesn't have a great solution? Everyone argues to get G5 out of there. Only good solution they have is create a G5 playoff. Which, again, you're cutting off all these fan bases, which means you're cutting off money. I know you think Tulane doesn't have a large fan base, doesn't bring in a lot of money. But Tulane and Boise State together do. And James Madison does. And Colorado State does. Like, you start adding all these teams together, there's money there. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Brady's gonna pick it. No, he ain't gonna miss it. Brady picks the winner tonight. We'll see if Baker Mayfield will fulfill his destiny, cause Atlanta sucks, they don't belong. Mr. Thursday Night is choosing who'll win and who'll be losing. Tonight at 6, the game is on. Brady's gonna pick it. No, he ain't gonna miss it. Brady picks the winner tonight.
Well done. Brian Gary hitting notes that I even still surprised that he's hitting. Fantastic work again. Michael, 8-8 on Thursday Night Special. And if you're doing what Micah did earlier, well, that's not mathematically correct because they had 3 games on Thanksgiving. That's how we got to the 8-8. That's how we got to 16 games.
I forgot about that.
You forgot about that. It's okay. I'm trying not to be mad at you for your argument. And I do want to clear up a text real quick. Wouldn't it be cutting off 80% of college? It wouldn't be cutting 80% of, I said college fan bases, not fans. College fan bases. That's what I was going for there when we were having that argument. Falcons, Buccaneers. I mean, the Falcons are, Big Hub, I'm sorry, but the Falcons are struggling, man. This is not a lot of good going on with the Falcons, but the Buccaneers are reeling. They lost, what now, 4 out of their last 5 games. They lost to the Saints last week. Boy. I mean, where do you go here, Mike? The Buccaneers are 5.5-point favorites. They're trying to get into the playoffs. The Falcons are obviously in a tough spot right now. I like Kyle Pitts. I mean, he's starting to finally become like a go-to target. He had 6 catches for a season best, 90 yards against the Seahawks last week. So Kyle Pitts has been good. Where do you go here, Michael? Mike Evans is dealing with the collarbone. Jalen McMillan dealing with the neck. They're questionable. Got a lot of injuries for the Buccaneers mounting up. Baker Mayfield, though, is he going to be okay? You know, he's been battling through as well. Going up against the another old man in the Kirk Cousins situation for the Falcons. Boy. I mean, the Buccaneers lost to the Saints last week. Baker was 14 of 30, 122 yards. This is a guy that looked like he was going to maybe be in the running for MVP. And they kind of hit a slump, and then he gets hurt, and now he's back. Ugh. Michael, where would you go?
I don't know. It's up to Mr. Thursday Night.
Oh, really? You have no thoughts on this? You're not going to give me any? I'm asking for a lifeline here.
Brady, I'm going to pick the opposite of you.
Okay.
Right now, we're fighting.
We are fighting. We're squabbling. We're squabbling because Michael is a football elitist.
And I'm right.
I am pure of heart. Yes. If it wasn't for people like me, Frodo Baggins would have never been a main character. You're welcome, everybody. I like Big Hub. He's my Falcons guy. Tampa Bay minus 5.5. Let's go, Bucks.
Tampa ranked as the most desirable place to live in the U.S.
First First and 10. Bucky Irving, the back. Mayfield, the fake. Here comes Young. There goes the pass to Irving. He's got blockers ahead.
Baker Knight.
The five. Touchdown.
Baker Knight,
Bucky
Mike.
Irving. Tucker remains. First and goal. Tucker the call. Dives.
I'm sorry,
touchdown.
Big Hub said the Atlanta
and
shot
the
hurts.
Buccaneers have reclaimed the lead.
You're going to get a lot of Buck stuff tonight.
Tucker. Tucker's got blockers. Tucker is going down the sideline. And Tucker is gone. Touchdown, Buccaneers.
Tucker in the backfield. Give it to him. Tucker taking it to the outside. And Tucker has got it for the touchdown. Monster day for Sean Tucker. Buccaneers take the lead.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good tune. Let's go Tampa Bay. Let's get it done tonight. We get a crucial victory tonight. Bucks, if they get this cover, I'm up to 9-8. That's over 500. Extremely respectable, given the injuries of the year and other things. Producer change in the middle of the year. I mean, I've had to deal with a lot, man. You talk about quarterbacks having to go through different offensive coordinators and coaches. I had to deal with that mid-season, pretty much. And that's tough. That's tough on me. So I've been through it, but if I can find a way to get over 500, get into the playoffs, feeling fantastic. 35 minutes after the hour, I like Tampa Bay minus 5.5. Kevin Lytle, the Kevin Lytle, will join us in studio from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Does that say Dingle Hell?
Jingle Hell.
No.
It's Mike, Christopher Lee, who played Saruman in Lord of the Rings.
It's not Christmas. Stop it. Stop it.
But it's a tie-in to Saruman.
No, I don't like that. Kevin
You're
Lytle,
welcome.
Please save me from Michael. He's been tough to deal with today.
One of them days, huh?
Yeah, it's bad because he's such a football elitist, and he only wants eight teams. He wants eight teams to be in college football, basically. So he's cutting off like 90% of all fan bases.
Oh, is that because Washington made the playoff? Oh, wait.
Yeah, they don't.
They did not, and they did not deserve it.
According to his, Washington would be out, too.
So you hate the NCAA basketball tournament?
No, because Washington doesn't deserve to go to the
NCAA this whole thing
tournament.
Is just crazy.
And I have some problems with that as well.
How you doing, man?
Super.
CSU, good. The Dartmouth game was kind of interesting the other night. Ali Farokmanesh didn't look 100% thrilled at times during that game.
No, I believe it's the first time we've seen sort of a rage timeout and line change from him.
Yeah, like a platoon shift almost.
Yeah, he was not happy. It was interesting because, so statistically, CSU was good defensively. Dartmouth averages like 80 or something points a game, scored 55, shot like 40%. All the numbers, I think CSU turned them over like 15 times. So statistically, it was a good defensive game. But I think that's one of those where the stats don't tell the full story, especially a first half. CSU was getting lost with some frequency and just kind of lazy. That's not the right word, but just not dictating, I guess. They were letting Dartmouth dictate things on the Dartmouth's offensive end. That's when that kind of rage timeout happened. Second half, they did improve it quite a bit, I would say. At one point, held Dartmouth like 8 minutes where they went 1-for-11. I think within that, there's a five-minute scoreless stretch. So I actually liked what Ali said after a game of, you know, from Saturday, meaning the CU game, to Tuesday, we're not going to all of a sudden become a top 20 defense, you know, in 48 hours. But do we improve? Do we show improvements every time out? He said, and I think this is the point with this team. He goes, 8.5 times out of 10, we do it well. But that's not 10 out of 10. And that's where, you know, that's the standard we're trying to meet. And I think that's pretty good summary of what this team is. I'm not sure I would agree that's 8.5 out of 10 that they're doing it well. But his point being, I think we see this, in stretches they can be pretty good defensively, but this, I don't think there's been a game where they've been very good defensively for 40 minutes. Yeah. Now, again, it's not always going to be perfect. Teams will hit shots and whatnot. But they just kind of ride a wave defensively where they'll lock down for stretches and then kind of lose it for stretches. And that's what they're trying to improve, of just make it a little more consistent.
Yeah, well, and you did wonder. I think you even noted this on your ex account that you wondered if there maybe was a hangover effect too.
And Ali said that he goes, I wasn't going to say it to the guys before the game because you don't want to put it in their head, but it's human nature, and that's totally fair, 100% makes sense. You had your biggest non-conference game, the crazy crowd, and the game itself was just wild. And then it's a pretty quick turn from a Saturday evening to a Tuesday night mm-hmm. game. You're gonna have a letdown, like. That makes sense. And they won by 21. So, yeah, I kind of wrote it and mentioned it. It was a little choppy, not pretty, but they still won with comfort and did what they needed to do. So, all told, all good.
Yeah, got it done. And I'll tell you, man, they were the scouting report on Josh Pascarelli is pretty known now. It's out there. I mean, they were really trying to keep him from shooting. He finds an inch, though. He's going to really, and he only shot two threes in this game, made them both. And both those threes were close to being contested. His release
is so quick. So, what I thought was incredible, so the previous two games, the CU game and then South Florida before it, he had hit eight threes in each of those games, combined 16 for his last 18 from three. If I go 16 for 18 from three in back to back games, I'm saying everything's run through me. I'm shooting until it doesn't go in anymore. Mm-hmm. But Pascarelli just lets the game come to him, and only shoot two threes, I think, is quite a testament to him as kind of an unselfish player to say, no, I'm just going to let the offense flow, let it flow naturally. If that leads to shots, great. If not, I'm not going to force them. And so to have those two games and then be willing to have kind of a backseat role is pretty incredible.
Adam Nygon noted on the broadcast, he's like, I kind of wish he would take more heat checks. Like, the guy doesn't do that.
So I want to go back and look. I can't really think of a bad shot he's taken. He's
calculated.
For a pretty high volume shooter, it's volume in flow. I really can't think of one of those where he just walks up and is like, 45 foot, I'm pulling up, let's see if it goes in.
Is that because he's such a team player, or if he's like, man, I want to keep that percentage good? I mean, what do you think the thinking
is? Saying he's shooting at pretty high volume, so it doesn't feel like he's, percentage checking, so to speak, and like all the talk with NBA guys and the half court heaves or full court heaves and stuff like that. I think it's just, flow of the offense. He's talked about of, hey, in this offense, if you run it right, the shots come to you. If you move the ball, make the right cuts and everything, it rewards. It's like basketball karma is almost how this team mm-hmm. talks about. If you do the thing right, you may not get on that possession, but the basketball gods will lead the shot back to you in the future. And that's how he seems to be playing it.
Kevin, who is your most entertaining player to watch right now?
It's got to be him right now.
Is it him?
Right? I mean, Jorgensen's doing amazing.
Jorgensen.
I really appreciate and respect what he's doing, but just the flamethrower.
Man.
I mean, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, well, and I know I put something out there like, this has got to be one of the purest shooters I've ever seen for the Rams. And people are like, well, there's other guys. He's only been with the Rams for a short time. I'm not talking about stats. I'm talking about just watch him play the game.
So I put that out too. I think it was during the CU game. I said, Josh Pascarelli, best shooter, CSU shooter since, ... Got some interesting responses. I don't agree with any of them, and not as a knock on anyone. It's just a short list. And even I think the best comparisons that we can make are guys you just shot less because, it was before the Steph Curry-ification mm-hmm. of basketball. Now we'll see. Yeah, the small sample size is definitely real. Let's see how he does over full season. I would expect numbers go down in conference play just because every conference game is just so much harder. They know what you're doing. They defend you so much more aggressively, all that jazz. But I've been saying for probably a year or two before this, of like, man, the one thing CSU hasn't had is just a full-on dead-eye shooter. Well, they got one. Well, they got several now, but especially Pascarelli. So, right now he's certainly in the conversation for one of the best single season CSU shooters ever.
Yeah, he's a blast. And I'm telling you, man, it's not just the wrestling thing, but Rex Steiner is fun to watch.
He's another one. Yeah. He's a great shooter. He's in the four. It's almost the funny thing. Pascarelli's been so good that you almost lose track of some of the other guys. Rex Steiner's shooting in the 40s. Jace Butler's in the 40s. Jevin Muniz is, I believe, high, like 39%. Jorgensen's in the 40s. I'm going to write about it next week, but This is one of the best offenses in CSU history because you have so many shooters. It's crazy how many guys are shooting well. Basically, of the rotation, there's no one – well, you know, Bimba's been hurt, so you don't really count him right now. But Augie Kidulis is probably the guy, the only guy that plays a lot that hasn't been shooting it well from deep.
Yeah. Well, I want to get into all the basketball stuff, too. Some more Jim Mora stuff as well, signing class, all of that coming up. We got Rams Weekly starting up at 2:05. But first, let's get to what did we learn here on the whole show with Kevin and Michael on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're gift wrapping the best sports broadcasts in the state. Hear Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, and high school sports on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
I'll turn to a friend, to Kevin Lytle of the Colorado. Did you learn anything today, Kevin?
I learned that CSU's potential OC, Gordon Samis, apparently TCU has interest in, according to a reporter down in Texas, kind of vaguely worded. So he's been very successful, so probably not a big surprise. But
let's unpack it.
Coaching carousel is wild.
Yeah, it's very –
it's not just head coaches.
And it got a little more wild today, too. Now Michigan apparently is looking for a new head coach. Michael, what did you learn?
I learned that I should read more than just headlines.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of time, but
it's no excuse.
I should learn more, read more than just headlines.
I learned that, hey, I love Farouk Manesh as a basketball coach, but we had him on earlier talking about the big game coming up Sunday, and I'm excited about everything that's going into that game with their neurodiversity inclusion
game.
Very
cool.
I would try to go, but my child would end up on the floor, Kevin, and you would be writing a piece about Gavin attacking someone with the basketball. So it'd be crazy. Be fun. Be fun for you. All right, Rams Weekly coming up at 2:05. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.